Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord. Like to follow along, I'm in Hebrews chapter 10. I don't know what recording he's using, but I'm doing it on this one too since I just started it. That's right. We've got a phone, we've got a video camera, and we've got a microphone to a voice recorder underneath here. We have got more technical stuff than we know what to do with. But Paul knows what to do with it, so it works out really good. Hebrews chapter 10, I want to begin reading verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to do this on the record. I want to thank God for being able to assemble here together today with you. A little further down in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. There's a reason why. But exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I'm not going to tell you I see the day approaching, but I can tell you one thing for a fact. It's a day closer than it was yesterday. Okay? Just when you think it can't get any worse in this world, it does. And evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse and worse. And that's what we're surrounded by today. But I'm glad to be here. Because the longer I go, the more I know that I need the assembling together. It's good for me. It's good for me to gather here with you. Whether I speak or not, it's good to be here. There have been times, and I don't know. I'm going to try and be real brief today. I don't know if it's going to work out. It didn't work out last week. But I'm going to try and be real brief. I mean it today, but it's all right. It's okay. The gospel is the gospel, and the gospel's got to be preached. I suffer. I've debated on whether or not to tell you this, but I don't... I think Walter and Paul might understand what I'm saying here. I suffer sometimes from a thing that's called, by the world, it's called imposter syndrome. Where it's like, why am I up here? Yeah. Especially, I got to thinking last week about what Scott Richardson said to Earl. When Earl was getting ready to go up to preach, he said, remember, you're speaking for God. And that's scary. That's scary. And I'm afraid somebody's going to find out. I don't know what I'm doing. But it's, in a way, I don't know have to know what I'm doing as long as he does. And what I do know about is what he's given me. But it still, it makes you sometimes feel, because here it is. We are empty vessels, clay pots. But by his grace, by his power, by his might, we are his clay pots. And buddy, I'd rather be his clay pot than somebody else's golden urn. Yeah. Anyhow. But I want to come here, I want to preach Christ, I want to pray, I want to sing, and I want to fellowship with you people. That's what I want to do today. Anyhow, verse 16 of Hebrews 10, this is the covenant. After those days. All right, what is this covenant? Well, let me put it this way. I will I will and will I. That's what he says. This is a covenant. I'm going to make it with them. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. So, what's going to happen to these people's hearts and minds? They're going to have the law written in their hearts, and they're going to have the law written in their minds. Now, what part of that is up to you? None. None. This is a verse full of action, full of things being done, but you're not doing a thing of it. You're not doing one of it. That's sometimes where the imposter syndrome comes from. This ain't mine. This is not mine. This is this word. And as long as if I can stick to this word, I'm good. I'm good. You know? Because then it becomes your problem, not mine. Because I'm telling you the truth. God making a covenant, God has made a covenant, and he's going to purpose it. He purposed it, he planned it, and he's providing it right now. He's putting in the hearts and minds of his people his law, his word, his will. And if he doesn't do it, I can't. And if he doesn't do it, what I say may not make any sense to you. But if he has done it, I believe it will make a bit of sense. Because you understand, the natural man, heart and ears are uncircumcised. And they always resist the Holy Ghost. Well, when God speaks to you, when Christ, you hear Christ's voice. Those that are dead hear the voice of Christ. They that hear shall live. And those that live, will hear and will believe. Because he's put it in their hearts. You understand? This is a covenant I can live with. Matter of fact, this is a covenant I cannot live without. Amen. This is a covenant that I can live in. Why? Because the power and the glory and all of it comes from God to me and to you. He says, I will make this covenant. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds. So, the covenant is the work of God, not of man, not even the smallest part of it. We had a covenant like that. There was a covenant like that. It said, this do and live. And what happened? We broke it. Now, granted, you weren't there, and I wasn't there, but if I'd have been there, I'd have broke it. Matter of fact, that law is still around, and I'm still breaking it. As a believer, I break it. The covenant is the work of God. And here is this. This is a beautiful thing that when I got to thinking about this, he says, I will, and I will. That's the work of God, okay? Here it is. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning. From the beginning. You understand? God knew we were going to be here today. And he knew it before the world began.
Amen. That's right.
Yes. People have this idea about, oh God, he's a fine fella. You don't know God. You don't know God. Our God is an awesome God, Walter. I don't like the way that guy says it. I understand. No. If you're not full of awe before God, you don't know God. If you don't fear God, now I'm not talking about, shaking and trembling, but no, if God doesn't put a little bit of fear in you, you don't know God.
Amen.
Because our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
You understand? You that want to be under the law, I listened to Henry talking about it on the way up here this morning. Don't you hear it? Don't you hear it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And if you don't, you're going to hell. That's the law, folks. Forget about the Ten, that part of the Ten Commandments, but you can't get past the first one. Don't worry about committing adultery. Don't worry about coveting. Don't worry about stealing. Don't worry about killing. You can't get past the first one, and neither can I.
Amen.
And I never have been able to, and I never will. But this covenant, oh, this covenant I like. I'm going to put my laws in your heart. I'm going to put my laws in your mind. And you know what? When he puts them there, they're there.
Amen.
They're there. Even amidst all of my infirmities, even in the midst of my unbelief, he's there. He's there. Oh, I like that. I do. But there, here's what it says. Verse 17, and, okay, I'm going to put them in there. I'm going to put them in their hearts. I'm going to put them in their minds. What's the result of that? And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. And I'm going to tell you something. That's as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. That's as true today as it's going to be true tomorrow. What about my sins today? What about your sins right now? Right now. Right now, you're sinning against God. People don't believe that. I'm in church. Oh, well, here you're at chapel. That's why we call it that. Because here, we are the church. The people are the church. But anyhow, I'm in church. You're sinning. Right now. But if he's put his laws in your hearts and in your minds, he's going to remember your sins and iniquities no more. Right now. Right now. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And I said, I'll say it again. I like saying this. Of course, blessed is the man who doesn't sin. But we don't have any of those. Well, we have one. We have one. And he is seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's the only one. Oh, I like that. Their sins and iniquities, I'll remember no more. He doesn't say you're not going to have them. He says, I'm not going to remember them.
Right.
You know why? Because his son paid for them on the tree at Calvary. He bore in his body on the tree all of our sins and iniquities and transgressions and omissions and failures. Everything. Or there's no hope. You understand? And that counts for the sins I'm going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
He knew from before the foundation of the world, all the works of God are known unto him from the beginning. Oh my. I will remember. You understand? The covenant is I will, and I will. Right? What's the result? I will. I'll remember them no more. Their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. Oh, I like that. This is a covenant for ungodly sinners. I like that, Walter. I do. You know, oh, it's sin. We're all sinners. No, well, are you an ungodly sinner? Because here's the thing. With ungodliness comes unrighteousness. You're not going to have ungodliness without unrighteousness. And you're not going to have unrighteousness unless you're ungodly. But he's talking about ungodly sinners. That's us. Right now. Right now. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, I like that. This is a covenant that the ungodly sinner wants. And this is the covenant that the ungodly sinner needs. And it's a covenant between the Father and the Son and the Spirit. We don't enter into this except for what he's doing to us. That's it. And it's what he's doing. Now where the remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Now that is my title today, Paul. This is where I've been going. No more offering for sin. No more. But don't forget this first word of this verse. Now. 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 What does that mean? Well, when Paul or whoever wrote this was writing this 2,000 years ago, he meant right now. Now. What? This is the covenant I'll make with them. I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now. where remission of these is. Oh my. What? Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Now. Right now. And I'm going to say today, right now, there is no more offering for sin.
Right.
Period. Just say it right there. So you understand, now is the time. Oh, but then there's, where is it? Where remission of these is. Who's he talking about? He's talking about that those that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have put the laws in their hearts and in their minds. He's talking about believers, folks.
Amen.
That's what he's talking about. Those whom the Son of God has spoken to them, and they have heard his voice, and they live. Those that have come to Christ because of the Father. No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man will come unto me except to be given unto him of my Father. That's who he's talking to, those who have come. And him that cometh, what did he say? I will in no way, in no wise, in no way cast out. Why? Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Oh my, I like that. That's when and that's where. Where is this remission? It's in the covenant between the Father and the Son. And it's given to you. He will, and he will. That's God's covenant. Now, it's not your covenant. It's God's covenant. But he gives it to you. He gives it to everyone that he chose in his Son. From before the foundation of the world. I will remember their sins and iniquities no more. I like saying that. It's like I like saying, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Amen.
Yes, you sin. Yes, you fail. Yes, you fall. Yes, you stumble. But his people are never utterly cast down. You may fall on the rock and be broke to pieces. But bless God, that rock's not going to fall on you and crush you to powder. Understand, we stumble, we fall. Yeah. We fail. We are physical, fleshly creatures. And in my flesh, right now, still today, dwells no good thing. Understand, he didn't say, this is the covenant I'll make with them, I'll put my laws into their flesh. No, he said, into your hearts and in your minds. One day, he's going to change his flesh. This mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruption is going to put on incorruptible. And guess what? That's going to be his work too. It's not mine. It's not mine. But here's the thing, and this is the only point I want to get across, if I can today, anything else. There is no more offering for sin. It's over. You understand? It's finished. That's what Christ said on the cross. It's finished. It's paid. No more is owed. Oh, I like that. I like that. There's no more offering for sin. There was one sacrifice and offering for sin. Was. I said it past tense on purpose because it is past. Now, the sacrifice and offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. And that's the way it says it, once. Just back up a page or whatever to Hebrews 9, verse 24. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now. Well, I like that. To appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the Old Testament high priest entered into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then he must often, excuse me, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin. How? By the sacrifice of himself. As is appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. There was one sacrifice. It was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And what happened by that sacrifice and that offering? Hebrews 10 and verse 10. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once. It says for all, but just once. That's the point here. Once. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifice as what? Which can never take away sin. And they never did take away sin. But his sacrifice, oh my. But this man, verse 12, after he hath offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Now in verse 10, he said we're sanctified through the offering of his body. And in verse 14, by that one offering, it's the same offering. There's only one offering. He hath perfected forever. Perfected forever them that are sanctified. Understand? The sacrifice of Jesus Christ was so sufficient, it was good enough to sanctify us and to perfect us forever. There's no more offering for sin. Understand? This is perfect. This is perfection in God. Because this is God-man. I said it last week. He's not the man-God. He's the God-man. I know a lot of people want to be the man-God, but they're not. Jesus Christ is the God-man. He was God with God and was God before he came. And then when he came, he was the God-man. And now he's seated at the right hand of the Father, like I said, the majesty on high. Guess what? He's still the God-man. He is both God and man. And yet here he is, by his offering of his body, once were sanctified and perfected forever. There is no more offering for sin. You understand? If you're perfected forever in Christ, there's no more offering for sin. This was it. 2,000 years ago on that tree, he made the perfect sacrifice and offering.
Amen.
And he appeared in the heavenly places to the Father. And the Father accepted it. Accepted him. Excuse me. Accepted his sacrifice. There's no more offering for sin. And there are priests that go around, they are offering now. You know, there's a bunch of Catholic priests and whatever, Greek Orthodox, whoever these people are, they're offering the sacrifice, that's what they call it, of the Mass. No, they're not. There's no more offering for sin. Either Christ is all or he's nothing.
Amen.
And Christ is all. Christ is all. Here's the conclusion. There's no more offering for sin. Period. This is the covenant of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There was one offering for sin forever, and there is no more. Period. Christ's one sacrifice and offering is, not was, is sufficient. Is sufficient because Christ is all. You understand? Christ is all you need, and Christ is everything you need. I don't need anything more, and I can't have anything less. You understand? It takes the perfect sacrifice of the Son of God, or I'm a goner. If it's not his sacrifice, I can't add to that. I know some people like to think they can. But here's the offense of the gospel right here, folks. There's no more offering for sin. There's no more offering for sin. You can do whatever you want, and you can be as good as you want, and you can be as holy as you think you can be. But let me tell you, you're not good, and you're not holy. And your works are filthy rags in the sight of God.
Amen.
And unless he works in you both to will and do of his good pleasure, it's probably of no value. It may be of some earthly value. I mean, I agree. I agree with what Walter said. Henry said it years ago about the Shiner's Crippled Children's Hospital is a wonderful thing. And if you give money to it, more power to you. It's a good thing as far as this world is concerned. But giving to it, working there, helping those children is not going to help you before God. It may be the most wonderful thing you've ever done. It may fill your heart full of joy because you got to help somebody. That doesn't count before God. The only thing that counts before God is perfection. And we don't have perfection unless we have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He has given himself to us. Because Paul said it this morning on TV. He is our wisdom and our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption.
Amen.
And you know why he is that to us? Because God has made him unto us. Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What? I will. And he did. And he does. And he is. By his one offering, we are sanctified. And by his one offering, those that are sanctified are perfected forever in Christ. In Christ Jesus. There is no more offering for sin. There's no more needed. I understand if you got a perfect offering, anything else is just going to be imperfect.